Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You may be pulling it off, and some folks, you have got just, the old word is snookered. You're playing the game, and you got them fooled. You ain't fooling God. And Jesus is looking at this church and looks into our hearts, and he says, look, I know you. And the next thing he's talking about with the hot or cold thing is this, man. I think he's saying, quit playing around.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, Truth Seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Hey, welcome back to another week of Truth Infusion. My name is David, and his name is Wes Belk.
Hello, Truth Seekers.
For the second week in a row, the ace of base, Brother Wes Belk, is in the Truth Infusion studios with me, and taking a second week to discuss the concept or the title that we've given these shows together, however many times we do this, the lukewarm Christian. And we just kind of got on the tip of the iceberg last week with this deal, trying to give a concept or an idea of what does lukewarm mean, and what does Jesus, what's he talking about when he throws this right into the face of the church at Laodicea in Revelations chapter 3. And so we're going to do our best to pick up kind of where we were. We may take a minute or two to review a little bit. But if you missed last week, and part of last week was Wes giving an abbreviated portion of his testimony and why the concept of coming out of a lukewarm state is so important to Wes and his ministry, please go to truthinfusion.com. Go to the broadcast page of the website, and it's going to be easy for you to find last week's show, The Lukewarm Christian with Wes Belk, and just click on that, and you can listen to it for free. It'll stream right to your radio. It won't stream to your radio. It'll stream to your computer or your phone or your iPad or some device that streams. And my radio doesn't stream. Does yours?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Maybe some of these new cars do, but mine doesn't. I don't know. And so go listen to it and then come back again in this second show. May make a little bit more sense, but I think we'll catch you up to speed so that you'll be okay anyhow. And so, Wes, brother, hey, pray for us. Pray us in and ask the Holy Spirit to do His work today, and then we'll do a little bit of reviewing over some of the concepts of last week and then move forward in this concept of the lukewarm Christian. Pray for us.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us a way to have fellowship and communication and communion with you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word, to share who Jesus is to us,
yes,
with others who may be wondering, with someone who may be reaching out, hearing you knock, but really not understanding. Father, we just pray that you would speak through us. Holy Spirit, do what you do, be who you are, and walk out through us and let someone hear Jesus.
Amen.
Let someone hear the truth. Let someone hear freedom from the bondage of being a lukewarm Christian, and draw them to be on fire from within, with you being the source of that fire. You are the fire. So we just ask you to do that today. Work through us, speak through us, and love through us in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. All right, Wes, let's do this by means of a quick review and then of last week's defining the concept of lukewarm. And then move forward as the Holy Spirit leads us. But let me read from Revelations 3. And what I want to do is I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I just want you to give some commentary kind of relating to what we talked about last week, just what Jesus was saying to this church and what he's saying to us today. So here is Revelations 3, and I'm going to read verse 15 and 16. As Jesus writes a letter to this church, here's what he says about them. He says, I know your works. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were hot or cold. Here's verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Give us a little bit on kind of where Jesus is with this church and what it's saying to us now.
Well, just like you spoke last week, the commentary that you read from where Laodicea was at that time and what they would have recognized because of their industry, because of the physical place of where they were, where they lived, the water that came into their city, and how they had to have it piped in from a great distance. With that being said, their water ended up coming through and reaching that city in a lukewarm state.
Right.
Guests who would come would usually get sick and a lot of times even vomit or throw up because of the lukewarm water that they had to drink. They were used to somewhere down the road, there were hot springs.
Yep.
Other place down another direction, there were cold springs of water, and that's what they were used to. So when they drank this lukewarm water, it made them sick.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, basically, to the church, but yet to he's really speaking to an individual.
He does.
Because, and especially now today, he's telling us individually, I want to come in and have a relationship one-on-one with you, mm-hmm. and you will be a part of the body of Christ to function and do what I need you to do in the whole picture of the body of Christ. But if you're lukewarm, then you're basically just being a hypocrite, and the world don't want me,
yep.
that you're trying to present, because you're not hot, you're not cold. The church says they don't want you because they see what you're doing. I mean, and I probably shouldn't say that. The church will always want a person. They just want us to be on fire for Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't need to play games with this, and we're coming down to a point where Jesus is coming back. He's coming back soon.
True.
And we need to open up the door and say, Jesus, I want you to do whatever you want to do through me, in me. I just want to have a relationship with you, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
If that means you bless me with stuff, fine. But if it means you want me to give up everything I've got, I'm willing to give up everything, whatever you
yeah.
want, Lord. However that looks, I just don't want to make you sick anymore
yeah.
by being lukewarm.
Yeah, Jesus, I believe, you know, one of the things that stood out to me as I just read that is that first comment of Christ in verse 15 when he says, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I know your works right here, but here's what he's saying. I know you. You're not kidding around enough to fool me.
Right.
And there's another verse I'm thinking about that says, God is not mocked.
Mm-hmm.
Quit deceiving yourself is the verse. God is not mocked. In other words, you think you're fooling. You may be fooling everybody around you.
Yeah.
You may be pulling it off. And some folks, you have got just, the old word is snookered, man. You're playing the game and you got them fooled. You ain't fooling God. And Jesus is looking at this church and looks into our hearts and he says, look, I know you.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing he's talking about with the hot or cold thing is this, man. I think he's saying, quit playing around.
Yeah.
Quit playing the game. Get real. Let me say it that way. Get real. You know what? An atheist, they got a lot of issues, but a bold atheist is real.
Right.
You hear me?
You know where they stand.
You know where they stand. They're not afraid to say it. It may just irk you or break your heart to hear what they have to say, but at least you know where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And you take one of those zealous Jesus freaks, you may not, that may make you uncomfortable. I don't know where you're at, truth seeker, but you get around one of those people that are just, you know, we can label them Jesus freaks or holy rollers or whatever the world wants to call those folks that are just radical for Christ, and he's really all they care about, and everything they do is built around who he is and what he wants. And they may make you uncomfortable, and you can, you know, they may irk you in the way they operate, but you know what you can't do is you can't say they're not real.
I've got a guy that I know that you'll see him a lot of times at the fairgrounds with maybe a bullhorn and a poster board. The guy's real. He'll go to football games. I know that he stood outside of a football game, college football game, thousands and thousands of people walking in, and he's standing in the rain.
Yeah.
Continuing. He's not going in to watch the game. He likes football, but he stays outside, and he's trying to just maybe catch one that he can just share Jesus with.
Yeah.
And he does that. He doesn't get paid to do that. But what he does is he loves people with the love of Jesus as he stands out there in the rain sometimes, in the cold, and he's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives.
Yeah. And he's real.
He's real and he's on fire, and there's no doubt about what he's doing and who he is out there.
Okay. So here's the next point I want to make, and I know you're going to want to like tag in. Like if we're tag team preaching like Chuck always wants to do, you're going to tag in right here. But here's what I want to, the illustration I'm trying to build. There's few people that usually congregate at the extremes.
Right.
Okay. So we had the atheistic cold. We've got the this fella you're talking about and those holy roller Jesus freaks, the labels we put them on the hot side. And there's a few people on the cold side, and there's a few people on the hot side, and most people congregate in the lukewarm middle.
Mm-hmm.
Most folks are in the lukewarm middle. And you know what I know about the lukewarm middle? You may find them in different locations on a Sunday morning. Some of them may be at a church. Some of them may be on the lake. Some of them may be in bed with a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
You may find them in different locations on Sunday morning, but for the most part, they look and act and talk about the same.
Yes, they do.
Because lukewarm tends to just blend into the surroundings.
Very much.
And I think that's what Jesus is pointing out to the Laodicean church. Spiritually, they are very complacent. They're just okay with where they are.
Right.
I'm okay. Hey, I go to church most Sundays. Every once in a while on a Wednesday night, hey, I drop my kids off at church every Wednesday night for the children's thing they got going on up there. What are they doing up there? I don't know, but my kids are there every Wednesday night. I'm talking about me, but this is the lukewarm person.
Mm-hmm.
They're very self-satisfied. In other words, I do enough church to make me feel good about that, but I've got what I want in the world to make me, you know, feel good about what I get to do on Saturday night. And a couple of other words that I wrote down, they're indifferent to the real issues of faith, because that which is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. And real faith is focused on Christ all the time. And the lukewarm person, not so much, because that really takes a lot of my time away from what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing I wrote down was this. The lukewarm person really has the attitude of compromise. And here's what I mean. They blend in okay with the church. I look the part. I blend in with the rest of the church crowd. I know the routine. Pack a list of all the Bible studies in town. Remember that song?
Absolutely. Just listen to it.
And so they do that well. And at the same time, if you were to see them on a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, somewhere in town, boy, they can blend in right there also. Good fence riding folks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of folks that walk that path.
There are. There are. And, I mean, there's a lot of people who will... I heard an example given one time of a person who had a bumper sticker on the back of their car. It said, "Honk if you love Jesus."
Yeah. Okay. So, I've seen those.
So there was an evangelist that was going to be preaching. This is a true story. I heard this a couple years ago. And he was going to be preaching at this church. So he's riding around through town during the day before the service that night. And when he sees this bumper sticker says, "Honk if you love Jesus," he just honks his horn a couple times. Well, the person happened to be a lady in front of him, and boy, she looked up with glaring eyes through the rearview mirror, and,
right.
And he's wondering what's the deal here. So he toots his horn again, and she ends up kind of rolling her window down and lets her hand fly out the window to let him know she doesn't approve of him honking his horn.
She wasn't pointing up at the clouds, is what you're saying.
I don't believe so.
Right, I got you.
And so later that night at the service, he's out in the lobby greeting people as they come in. And this lady walks in, adorned in the church clothes,
oh, yeah.
And greeting with
fits
a smile.
Right in. Oh, man.
You know, wearing the smile. Hey, life is good. And she locks eyes with this preacher, and they recognized each other from that moment earlier in the day.
Yep.
And there was an immediate, nothing even had to be said. There was just an immediate conviction on the heart that, oh, my goodness, I've got this on the back of my car. And that's who was honking because he loved Jesus and was just sharing that with me.
Right.
And yet I reacted the way the world does because I was out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I was of the world, in the world, and I acted just like the world, even though I had a sign on the back of my car that says, "Honk if you love Jesus."
Yeah. So, yeah, in the danger of being this type of Christian, which, Wes, I'm going to step out on a limb, and you don't have to follow me out on this limb. But I believe that in America today, the great majority of our pews are filled with folks that ride the fence.
Jesus wouldn't have said this in this verse to us if that weren't true.
Yeah, see, when he wrote to the Laodicean letter, he did not say to the angel of the church of Laodicea, and the angel of the church is the messenger of the church, is the pastor. He did not say to the angel of the church of Laodicea, give this to the five people that are lukewarm in your church.
Right.
I wish that was the case. You know, I think Jesus loved, if it was the case, he would have loved those five people enough to send a message to them.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't send this letter to the four or five or the 20 people that come every once in a while that don't really get involved. No, he sent it to the whole church. Why? The vast majority of the congregation was the lukewarm middle. And the danger of that is that the response of the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, was this: you make me sick and I want to get rid of you. I want to expel you from my presence.
Absolutely.
When I'm sick at my stomach, I hate throwing up, Wes.
Oh, yes.
Look, hey, there's a whole lot in this world I'd rather you take me out back and whoop me than me have to throw up. But you stay nauseated long enough, you start wanting it. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been to a place where you're like, just let me throw up and get this over with?
Get it over with.
The nausea and the sickness after a certain amount of time is more than you can bear, and you would rather go through the rigors of vomiting to get it away from you.
It will bring a sense of relief.
Because right after you finish that horrible episode, the next thing you do is go, oh, that's better.
Yeah.
And that's what Christ is talking about. He's talking about someone who wears the Christian t-shirt,
mm-hmm,
and shows up at church on the right time and knows how to stand on the right verses and knows how to look like a church goer, but he's been nauseated by your inner life for so long that he's at a point where he's ready to throw up and get you away from him so that he might have the relief of the burden that you bring to the body of Christ.
And if we could put a number, if we could put a number on that, that'd be one thing. But you've recently preached in one of the church services, I believe we were, I think we were in DeKalb maybe, I'm not sure. But Jesus gave us a number,
mm-hmm,
of how many people, not the world, but how many people are actually going to be sitting listening to.
Yeah. Churchgoers,
the word falling as seed. He gave the example of the parable and the seed,
yeah,
sower.
Right, the four souls or the parable of the sower.
75%.
That's what it was, man. You're so right to bring that back out, because that is Jesus Christ and his statistics, not mine or yours.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there are four types of hearts that receive or don't receive the word. There's one of the four type that will bear the fruit of the word, that will show the evidence of relationship with Christ, is what he's saying. And it's one out of the four. And man, so at best, 25% of the church goers that are there regularly are that type of person, that type of heart, which means 75% of the church that we go and rub shoulders with every service of any given Sunday, 75% are there present in person, but in spirit they are bankrupt.
If we could even say it this way, those who are not listening to the word, those who are out in the world and they're not bothering to come to church at all.
Yeah.
So they're on the cold side. They're out in the dark side, let's say. The 25% that's going to actually produce fruit from that seed, from the word taking root inside,
mm-hmm,
that ground and growing, okay? And that's where we become entangled with who he is as the vine.
Yeah, and
he's
grafted
the vine and
into
we're the branches.
Him. Sure.
Okay, so if that 25% is to be, let's just say, the hot, then that 75% is the remainder of those who are, maybe we could say, are lukewarm. And if he's saying those 75%, we touched on this morning early, we knew we were going to get to this point. We can take it to where in Matthew 7, 22, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?
Right.
just like he said in Revelation, I know your works.
Yes, that's exactly what he said. I know your works.
So if that 75% that we were talking about a moment ago are the ones that are lukewarm and going to make him sick, and mm-hmm. he will spew them out of his mouth, maybe the ones that stand before him and truly say, Lord, Lord,
yeah,
didn't we do this stuff in your name? Didn't we act all religious? And weren't we all, like, we carried the name Christian? I mean, we walked around and we even did all these things in your name. And he's going to tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Well, I never knew you. You mentioned something a while ago, too, in one portion where, and it may have been even on the program last week, where you said in Revelation 3, he knows us.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us that in a sense of he knows us as a head knowledge, but he doesn't know us intimately because we've not invited him in.
Well, he didn't say, I know them personally. He said, I know your works.
Right.
I know what you've been up to.
I know what you're doing.
And let's make this a little more personal, because last week you gave some of your testimony. Do you think that there was a time in your life, Wes, if this is not true, then shoot me down, but do you think there's a time in your life when you were active in the church doing works, that perhaps even in that time of your life, you could have stood before the Lord and said, didn't I play the music in the church? Didn't I go to the nursing homes or the prison services? Didn't I do these things?
Yes.
Could that have been your words?
Yes, I absolutely was even telling him in some cases, Lord, I've done things that your word says do. I've prayed for the sick. I've visited the sick. I've visited those in prison. I've tried to help people. I've tried to be good. And I tried to use that as something to cause him to have to act as if he owed me something.
Yeah.
But my lukewarmness was just making him sick. And I had to come to that place where I realized that, to where I actually said, I'm making me sick and I'm making you sick. I need you to change me.
So in your own words, if the Lord had, if you had had to stand before Christ at that time of your life,
mm-hmm.
that would have been you.
That would have been 100% me.
Yeah.
If during that time, if I would have been on Judgment Day, I would have said, Lord, I've got to get in. You've got to let me in, because look at what all I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I truthfully, now that he's put his eye salve on me, now that he's tried me,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
now that he's clothed me with his white raiment, earlier when you were talking about one of the industries of Laodicea being that shiny black wool.
Yeah, the wool industry there.
I pictured somebody in a suit, but a few minutes after that, something came to my mind. It's a saying that we've all known and we hear, and a lot of us will even say it a lot of times. Somebody had the wool pulled over their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They've been deceived.
That's exactly right, yeah.
So if the Laodicean church has had the wool pulled over their own eyes, that's where I was. Because when Jesus pulled that off and let me see who he is.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And when he let me taste of who he is and to just feel his presence all the time, man, that was the difference. That was the exciting point. And now I don't worry anymore, and I don't have to even second guess anymore, that when I stand before him, I'm not going to say, Lord, Lord, look at all these things I've done. I'm just going to say, Lord, thank you so much that you came into my heart,
mm-hmm.
and you have been in fellowship with me for this whole time since then. And then I believe, according to his word, I will hear, come in, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Not because of what you've done, not because of your deeds, not because of your actions, but because you received me into your heart and you wanted to just love me for who I am,
amen.
Not for what I'll do. It's been amazing.
Yeah, that's what Jesus is looking for in this church letter to the Laodiceans the whole time. He's trying to get past their facade, their mask, their doing, their performing, their self-styled performance. Their earning of place in the community, their earning of material wealth. I. This is their song. I did it my way. You know, this is the theme song of hell is Sinatra singing, I did it my way. And this is what the church is, and they're doing it my way, and then trying to force feed it to God, like, look what you're going to accept from me, and you're going to give me good stuff because I'm doing good stuff. And here's Jesus calling their bluff. He says, you say, this is verse 17 in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. You say, in other words, here's what you're saying, church member, church goer. You're saying, I'm rich. I've become wealthy. And they're thinking about material goods, because how many churches say, you know, I remember that, I'm not going to name it out loud, but there's a church channel, and you look at their stage and their sets, and it's just everything's gold-crusted and plated and jewels and fancy, high, rich, highfalutin-looking stuff. And how many thousands of people look at that and say, they must be so blessed. Look at their furniture.
Yep.
It's covered in gold. Or at least look like it. And these folks in Laodicea are saying, I'm rich. I've become wealthy. I have need of nothing.
Why did they attract so many tourists to come to that place? Because they were so industrious.
Yeah.
Successful.
They had stuff to show them.
The banking, the clothing, the medical. They had it. And who does that sound a whole lot like?
Yeah.
Position-wise in the world.
Right. There's so many parallels with this church 2,000 years ago, but this church of today. And they said, I do, and Jesus says, and do you not know that you don't know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked? You think, you just said, I have need of nothing. You don't understand. You have nothing.
Absolutely.
You have nothing. You are fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling me. And I pray, Wes, that as we've stumbled and fumbled through this,
right,
that perhaps the Holy Spirit has let some people out there self-identify. Man, I'm playing the game. Mm-hmm. I'm playing around with God. Because when I look at myself in the mirror and get real, I really have nothing. I got stuff. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world?
And lose his soul.
And lose his soul. And so, you know, we're going to stop right there today. And next week, we're going to talk about the other side of the coin. Because Jesus didn't leave them just identifying, you ain't got nothing. He gave them an invitation, man, that is the invitation of the ages. Here's what he said. Let's sit down and eat a little bit. Amen. So we'll talk about that next week. And until then, guys, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.